Lord our God, we, your people, have assembled ourselves in this place on this Lord's Day, thanking you that you have made yourself known. You have made yourself evident to the world from the very beginning of time. And Lord, you have demonstrated your loving kindness, your justice, your righteousness to us by sending forth your Son, our Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for pleasing the Father. Thank you for doing all things to fulfill all of his holy desires. And thank you for sending your Holy Spirit and giving us all that you have earned. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit and claiming us as your sons and daughters. We ask you, Lord, to send your Spirit to us again today. We ask you to hear our praises and prayers, to bless the reading and the preaching of your word. Lord, work deep in our hearts today so that our boasting would only be in Christ. Lord, work in our hearts today to rid us from all the things that this world has to offer. And help us, Lord, to focus our attention upon Christ and give him glory for all things. Lord, work amongst us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you here this morning. I wanted to give a special welcome to a local pastor, Steve Doan, that's been in South Florida for several years. Steve, thank you. Welcome our guests. Come on. Hey, for several weeks, we've been working through a series of sermons entitled Our Identity in Christ, and this morning we come to the last sermon in that series. We've been working word by word and phrase by phrase through our main text, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Hear now the word of God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy and inspired word. Amen? Amen. Now, we have seen from Scripture that by God's great mercy and because of his great love, he has placed us in Christ. It is by his doing. We have seen that this in Christ reality, well, it is the essence of what it means to be a Christian. This in Christ reality is an abiding reality throughout the Christian's life from conversion into eternity. We are in Christ. We saw that being in Christ is both for you, the individual Christian, but it's also for us together as the body of Christ, as the church of Jesus Christ, as the bride of Christ, adorning ourselves for that great and special day. And our text also describes four spiritual realities, four supernatural acts that occurs when God places us in Christ. Christ became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, our text, as I pointed out to you last week, is one of those sequence passages of the Apostle Paul. And it works like this. God gave you saving knowledge in the cross of Christ, wisdom. He imputed into you the righteousness of Christ, righteousness. He set you apart from the world, sanctification, and he will one day enter you into eternal redemption, eternal glory, redemption. For those who by God's doing are in Christ, those who have received divine wisdom and the saving knowledge of the cross of Jesus Christ, those who have received the righteousness that secures their justification, those who have been sanctified to the image of God, saints by calling, for those, there awaits an eternal redemption as they will one day be ushered into glory. Thanks be to his holy name. Amen. As Paul states in the first part of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, that by God's doing, you are in Christ. Christ was confirmed in you. and therefore he shall confirm you till the end. He himself will cause you to be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now you can see why Paul writes, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Everything we have is by God's doing. Everything we have received in Christ is a gift from God so that no one may boast. It is all by God's doing. It is not by works or any human effort. You see, if God had never placed us in Christ, we would not have received divine wisdom of the saving knowledge of the cross of Christ, and we would still be darkened in our spiritual understanding. If God had never placed us in Christ, we would not be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, but rather we would still be wearing our filthy rags. If God had never placed us in Christ, we would not be saints, but rather we would still be slaves to sin. If God had never placed us in Christ, we would not have an eternal hope, but would be like the rest who live in this world without any hope in God for today and no hope in God for the future. Therefore, the apostle says, let everyone who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, it might come to a surprise to you that there is a whole theology of boasting in the Bible. Basically, the Bible describes two types of boasting. The one type of boasting is boasting in yourself and in your own accomplishments. The other type of boasting is to boast in the Lord and the accomplishments of God. Now, the Bible identifies boasting in yourself and in your own accomplishments as the pride of life. The Bible tells us that all such boasting is not good, that it is not from God, and that this type of boasting, well, it's from the world. I guess one of the best examples of this type of worldly boasting, boasting in yourself and your own accomplishments, is seen in, well, I'll just show you.
Hold it. He's yelling behind us. Cash is like, wait, come here. Come here. Come here. Come here, champ.
I'm the greatest thing that ever lived.
Now,
I don't have a mark on my face.
Yeah.
And I upset Sonny Liston, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest.
Now,
I told the world. I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me, Sonny. I shut up the world.
Brother,
I
Cassius,
know God. I know
Cassius,
the real God.
Cassius, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Cassius.
Yes.
Let me ask you this now. You told me when you visited in Los Angeles, you could do it in 8. Well, you thought Sonny and figured Sonny was great. How come you did it in 6 or 7?
I had him going in 8. I was getting ready to take him in the 8th, as you can see. But the man stopped it just to keep from making me look so great.
Right. I see. Now, give us that poetry on number 7.
He wanted to go to heaven, so I took him in 7.
You took him in 7.
I am the king of the world.
Hold it, hold it, hold
it. I'm pretty.
Hold it. You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
Wait.
I shook up the world. I shook up the world!
Oh,
I shook up the world!
Wait a minute, Cash, wait a minute.
You must listen to me!
Now listen.
I am the devil!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I must tell you this.
I can't be beat.
Joe, hold it. They're blowing the chair, but I don't think so. All right, tell us this.
Great.
All right, Cash. Thank you.
I'm great.
Thank you. Cassius Clay, the heavyweight champion. Let's get our champion, Joe Louis, over here as the camera follows Cassius Clay. Joe!
Who knocks out everybody and no one can whoop him. That's when that little Cassius Clay from Louisville, Kentucky came up and stopped Sonny Liston, the man who annihilated Floyd Patterson twice. He was going to kill me. But he hit harder than George. His reach was longer than George. He was a better boxer than George. And I'm better now than I was when you saw that 22-year-old undeveloped kid running from Sonny Liston. I'm experienced now, professional. Jaw's been broke, been knocked down a couple of times. Bad. Been chopping trees. I done something new for this fight. I done wrestled with an alligator. That's right. I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. That's bad. Only last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
Bad dude.
Bad. Fast. Last night, I cut the light off my bedroom, hit the switch, was in the bed before the room was dark.
Incredible.
Fast.
Incredible.
And you, George Fullman, all of you chumps are gonna bow when I whoop him. All of you. I know you got him. I know you got him picked, but the man's in trouble. I'm gonna show you how great I am.
Hold it. He's yelling behind us.
Well, there's no better example of the worldly boasting of the pride of life than Muhammad Ali. I think he is the world champion of worldly boasting. Well, as I mentioned, there's another type of boasting. That's the boasting in the Lord and boasting in the accomplishments of God. And as a matter of fact, this type of boasting is far from being sinful. As a matter of fact, it's actually a virtue in the scriptures. And the Christian is encouraged to participate in this type of boasting. Paul writes, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. In God we have boast all day long. In Christ we boast until the end." Amen. And having a correct understanding of boasting, well, it's very important for the Apostle Paul. Paul actually teaches about boasting over 35 times in his writings. And that is just something to gaze at when you consider that the Apostle James only wrote about it twice and the Apostle John only wrote about it once. But for the Apostle Paul, 35 times he talks about boasting. Now, maybe Paul wrote so much about boasting because he knew that it was a big problem within the Jewish culture where people found cultural acceptance in boasting for their religious accomplishments. Jesus condemned religious boasting. He spoke directly against the Pharisees who would publicly boast about their almsgiving, their long prayers, and their fasting. Now, Paul, he was very familiar with this type of boasting to gain public approval since he was raised as a Jew who was circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. So Paul realized that from a cultural perspective, he had every reason to boast. But because by God's doing, he was in Christ, he considered whatever things that he gained prior to his conversion, those things he counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Paul wrote, "I count all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord." He continues, "I count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which is from faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." Paul would also write in the book of Romans, "In Christ, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me." And here we see that Paul gives us the spiritual criteria for appropriate godly boasting. He says, "In Christ I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. Therefore, it is appropriate and proper to boast about things pertaining to God." He goes on, "For I will not presume to speak of anything except of what Christ has accomplished through me. Therefore, it is proper to boast in about anything that Christ has accomplished in us. We see that many times in Paul's writings that he makes reference to this first type of boasting, boasting of things pertaining to God, when he writes things like, and I have boast about you. When he's writing to the churches, he said, I have boast about you to others. I have boast about how God has worked in you. I am boasting of what I see God doing in you. So he's boasting about things pertaining to God. But we also see that this other type of boasting, boasting about anything that Christ has accomplished in us. Now, last week was pastors' appreciation and pastors and staff appreciation. And we all thank you for that wonderful day and the great reception. And, you know, some people came up and, you know, said, hey, thank you so much, Pastor, for your preaching. It really speaks to me. It's really changed my life. And of course, the proper way to respond to that, well, thanks be to God, you know, or glory to God, or the great PTL, you know, praise the Lord, you know. So these are, you know, you're taking the compliment that a person is saying because God did a work in them. Listen, my words aren't that spectacular. Those of you that have been around here know that. It's the Spirit of God correlating those words into spiritual words that speak to your heart. So what praise do I get? None. It's all to God be the glory. This morning we have a group of Haitian volunteers that got up about 4 o'clock and they took supplies down into the hurricane hit part of southern Haiti. You know, last week we asked for you to contribute some funds and we took those funds and sent them down. And those Haitian volunteers, they made together hygiene packs and first aid kits as well as family food packs. And they left about 4 o'clock this morning to drive down. It's only about 150 miles, but it takes about 7 hours to get there. And so anyway, the leader of the volunteers, he wrote me as I told him, you know, we just wired the money in type of thing. And he's like, thank you, Pastor Brian. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I write back, thanks be to God. Of course, he's saying thank you to me, but it's my godly responsibility to deflect it so that God gets the glory. That's boasting in the Lord. Maybe Paul wrote so much about boasting because he knew that the Greeks, especially the citizens of Corinth, were very prideful people about their economics, their politics, their educational and religious achievements. As I had mentioned in an earlier sermon, the Greeks, as you know, were the pioneers of philosophy, and they prided themselves as having more knowledge than other nationalities for things pertaining to the issues of life. So Paul knew that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Paul knew that God had chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God had chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. The base things of the world and despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he might nullify the things that are. And why would God do that? So that no man may boast. So the Apostle Paul understood the importance of the teaching of a biblical view of boasting, regardless of a person's cultural background, because whether you are Jew or Greek, we all have a sinful tendency to boast in our own achievements. But for those who, by God's doing, are in Christ Jesus, we do not boast in our own achievements, but rather we boast in the Lord. Notice our text reads, so that, just as it is written, let him who boast, boast in the Lord. Now, the so that seen here is one of the great, so that is the great purpose clause of the New Testament. The so that in the New Testament is basically telling us the purpose for the prior statement. And so the prior statement is by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that. you may boast in the Lord. God placed you in Christ for his own glory. God placed you in Christ so that you would boast in him. As the Lord declares in the prophet Isaiah, I am the Lord, that is my name, I will not give my glory to another, and neither should we. All glory and honor shall go unto the Lord. Just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So, as it was his custom, the Apostle Paul bases his teaching on Scripture itself. And being an Old Testament scholar, he uses a one-line summary to summarize the Lord's declaration on godly boasting found in the book of Jeremiah, where the Lord declares, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not a mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast in his riches, and let not a boast man boast, but let a man boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things. In our text, when Paul writes, just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord, that is a one-line summary of what is recorded here in Jeremiah chapter 9. That we do not boast in our wisdom, our might, or our riches, but we boast in this, that we know God. That God has allowed us to know him. And we boast that the Lord exercises loving kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth. These are the things that God delights in. And so I ask you, how did God exercise loving kindness on the earth? How did he exercise justice on the earth? How did he exercise righteousness on the earth? And when you study the Word of God, you come to one answer and one answer only. The way that God exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth is through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let a man boast in the Lord. The Lord Jesus is the all in all of the Lord's loving kindness. The Lord Jesus is the all in all of the Lord's justice. The Lord Jesus is the all in all of God's righteousness. So who do we boast in? We boast in Christ and in Christ alone. We only boast in the things pertaining to Christ, and we only boast in the things that Christ has accomplished in us. So, brothers and sisters, we have now come full circle. The work of God placing us in Christ is so spectacular that it has become our identity. Christ becoming our insight into God's salvation, Christ becoming our righteousness, Christ calling us out to be his people, Christ giving us a hope of eternal redemption, all these things is who we have become. These things are what we are. These things are our identity because we are in Christ. Christ is my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, and my future redemption. Christ is my whole life, so I boast in nothing but Christ and in Christ alone. For I know that without him, working wonders of his grace in my life, I would be nothing. Even if I have accomplished all things in this world, without Christ, I'd be nothing. Christ is my identity, and therefore I will boast in the Lord. I will boast in Christ and Christ alone. And that's my challenge for you today, that you would be in agreement with the Apostle Paul, who wrote in the book of Galatians, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Has God worked in your heart to the point where you can say, the world, the boastful pride of life, has been crucified, has been put to death in my life? Has God worked in your heart to the point where you can say, I am dead to this world, and I am dead to all it offers? Has God worked in your heart enough that you, where you can say, the things of this world, they do not define me. My identity is in Christ. Has God worked in your heart to the point where you can say, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, if God has worked in your heart in such a way, then in just a moment, we will pray together, and you and I and we together can make a sincere confession to God that Christ is our all in all. The Lord Himself has ordained a means by which we, as the people of God within a particular church, can make a common confession to ourselves and to the world that we believe that Jesus Christ is salvation, that He is our glory, that He has done all things to please the Father. Christ Himself has ordained the means by which we can do that is through receiving the Lord's Supper, which is set on the table behind me. The table behind me is not the table of this church, nor the table of this denomination. This is the Lord's table. Therefore, all of those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, even if God just worked in your heart a second ago, this meal is for you. For on this table are two simple elements: the bread symbolizing the Lord's body, and the cup symbolizing His blood. His body, which was broken for us, which secures our salvation in the sight of God, His blood that was shed for us to provide for us an atonement for forgiveness of our sins. We partake of these elements so that we might make a common confession together and therefore be spiritually nourished and built up in our faith, so that we together as the people of God would say, we boast in the Lord alone, not in any of our accomplishments, but only in Christ. But the scriptures do call us to prepare our hearts before we receive the supper, that we would search our hearts in a time of prayer and examine ourselves to see if there are any sinful ways, to make sure that we've truly placed ourselves in God's grace through Christ, that we believe upon Him. Scriptures call us to examine our hearts before we receive the supper, and we ask you to do that beginning last week, and we're going to ask you to do that just in a moment as well. But this morning, I'd ask you, as you prepare your heart to receive the supper, that you would ask the Lord to expose to you any ungodly boasting. Maybe it's never come from your lips, but it's in your mind, it's in your heart. You're boasting in yourself and in your accomplishments instead of realizing the only way you ever got anything is because of God's grace. You know, there is a young pastor, highly educated, well-trained, pastoring in a church in England, and he was preparing a sermon for a communion service, a lot like this here this morning. His text that he preached on was the one I just shared with you a minute ago. May it never be, as Paul wrote, that I would boast except in the cross of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He prepared the sermon, and then he was thinking of how he could really help the congregation to prepare themselves to receive the supper. And as he considered this, he wrote a hymn. That pastor's name was Isaac Watts. And he wrote the hymn as we know it to be, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. So as Pastor Watts did over 309 years ago, so I am going to do this morning. And I want you to consider the words of this hymn and to use it as a means to examine your own heart. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Don't go too fast, go back please. Have you come to the point where anything that you've gained in the world is really a zero to you? Because you have gained the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. Have you come to the point where you've asked the Lord to pour contempt on all your pride, to do a work in you, to continue to pour contempt on any seed of pride that might rise up in your heart and life? Then, verse 2, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. We all have things that charm us. We all have things that we cherish. And possibly these things become too much in our lives. And we need to consider them as vain. And we need to sacrifice them to the Lord Jesus Christ. This next verse is not very popular, but I love it. It says, his dying crimson like a robe spreads over his body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. See, when you really do see the righteousness of God in Christ, when you see the fullness that of God is found in Christ, that he is the fullest expression of the Lord's loving kindness, of his justice, and of his righteousness, and when you really see him in that robe of righteousness, then I think it leaves you to the point where you say, listen, I am dead to all the world. The world means nothing to me. The globe is dead to me. And then, of course, we all probably remember the last one. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You know, a lot of people want to think, well, just imagine if you were Warren Buffett. You know, if you were Warren Buffett and you could buy a boat. No, that's a country song. Sorry about that. Anyway, you know what? The call of God for people like Warren Buffett and you and me and everyone else, even the one who has just a few coins in their pocket, is the same. And that's surrender it all. Surrender it all. Total surrender. And as I've said 1,000 times before, the way you begin your Christian life is the way you continue in your Christian life. It's by surrendering to Christ. And that's my call for you today. As I prepare the table for us and as the worship team comes forward, I'd ask you to examine your hearts. Have the Lord search you so that we might partake together the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Lord God, I confess today that it's by your doing that I am in Christ, that you, Lord, have overcome my spiritual blindness so that I might see the glory of your redemption found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord Jesus, I confess that you are the Son of God, you are the Redeemer of all mankind. And Lord, I ask you to take me as your child, that you would conform me into your Son. I pray, Lord, that you will forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and claim me as a child of God, not because I'm worthy, but because you are so great. And Lord, as your child, I confess this morning that the world, the boastful pride of life, has been crucified, has been put to death in me. I am dead to this world and all that it has to offer. The things of this world no longer define me. My identity is in Christ. Lord, and by your Spirit, I pray that you would work in my heart today so that I might say, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, nourish us now by your Spirit as we partake together in this confession of faith of the beauty of the gospel found in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.